Go to fanrunradio.com if you want to get some backstory on Coach Duggs, if you want to follow along, or if you just want to see what the hell's going on, or if you just want to click on the promo and get you a coupon for Starch Madness, taking three shirts to get dry cleaned, get a fourth for free. Thanks to our friends at Crown Cleaners. Starch Madness, go to fanrunradio.com. We talked a little bit about a fake coach, or a virtual coach, an online coach. Have we discussed CBS's coaching rankings so far? You know how they do the off-season coach rankings?
Yeah, they do that every off-season.
We haven't discussed, right? It came out yesterday, right when we were going off the air.
It's the NFL coaches?
No, college coaches.
Oh, college.
College coaches.
Okay.
Yesterday they dropped, what is it, six? It's the Power 5 coaches, so they dropped 65 through 26. That's where Jeremy Pruitt came in, and that portion. Today they dropped the 1 through 25.
Okay. I'm intrigued.
Okay. Where do you want to start? What intrigues you about it the most?
1 through 10.
So you don't care about Pruitt first, where they thought Pruitt
was at? Oh, yeah. I mean, you can tell me where he's at. But if he's, no, at, I mean, if he's after 26th, I mean.
If that's not what interests you, then that's fine. We'll go to 1 through 10.
I mean, I'm just curious as to who they think the 10 best coaches are and what order.
Okay.
Let me guess a couple. Nick Saban.
1 second. I'm tweeting out the link that we're getting ready to discuss this.
Okay. We'll just wait until you
second.
Do that.
Yeah. I had to. Yeah. Just 1 second. Give me 1 second. Sorry.
Okay.
1 second. College football's head coaches.
There's no need to talk about it now anyway if the link's not been tweeted. So.
Even.
Because people will be missing it. So.
Well,
we might as well just
wait. I tweeted the link of the show when it first started, but I like to update it every now and then with the topics to see if, you know, that might draw somebody in.
Mm-hmm.
Even did a thing this time where I tagged the guy who wrote it. Maybe he'll comment on it or something. I don't know. All right, so here we are. Let's start. All right, so you were guessing an order. Are you trying to go in order here?
Yeah, sure. I'll go in order.
Number one.
Nick Saban.
You are correct.
Okay. They still got him at number one. Still.
The thing about sitting on the throne is that everyone else wants your spot, which makes it so difficult to keep it, says Tom Fornelli. He's won 5 national titles with Alabama, 6 overall. The program he's built is so dominant that when he finally missed out on the college football playoff for the first time, you could hear the gasp across the country, he says.
No, you couldn't.
No.
I didn't hear it. Everyone
kind of knew that once they lost to Auburn, bro. Like, we it wasn't a surprise.
Yeah, at that point, I think we figured it out.
Number one.
All right, so Saban's still getting the benefit of the doubt. The old dog, I guess until he retires, he'll probably he may have lost a little bit of his fastball, but he's still the guy, I guess.
Do we agree or disagree?
I think I agree. I mean, year in and year out.
Saban's still number one, Cam?
Just because he's maybe not quite as good as he used to be, he's still the number one
I have
one
no
guy.
Problem if you want to give him still the nod at number one.
I give him the nod. And then they're going to go Dabo at 2.
Dabo at 2, correct.
And then that's where it gets interesting. That's where it gets interesting.
Okay,
you start to rank them after that. I don't think I could do the rest of it in order. Just those two.
Okay.
But
so those are the two. I mean, you really took the easy way out to only want to guess those two in order.
Yeah, but now the other 8, they're going to throw in the guy from Ohio State, Ryan Day. He's going to crack the top 10.
He comes in at number 10.
Oh, so barely. Okay, I feel like he's done a pretty good job keeping that
He was
afloat.
Number 45 last year. They raised him up 35 spots. Climbs higher than any coach in the rankings. Still, this might be a little too high. He had Day at 15 on his ballot. I guess they all kind of got together. All of CBS's writers got together and ranked these. Just saying that, hey, let's see where things are in 2 or 3 years.
Okay. Coach O.
So you're not going in order. You're not even
no.
going in order. Okay. Number 4. Ed Orgeron comes in at number 4, which he climbed 26 spots. He was at 30 last year, which... Do we feel like Ed O got better last year? Like, do we actually feel like that was Ed O?
It was Joe Brady and Joe Burrow.
Right.
But,
you actually?
I mean, Ed O was responsible for that.
So do we think Ed Orgeron's the 4th best coach in the country? Yes or no?
I don't. know that there's a lot of separation between like 2 and 10.
So if you 3 and 10?
Yeah, like if
I feel like Dabo.
Yeah, okay. 3 and 10. So if you want to call Ed Orgeron the best coach in the country besides those two guys, I mean, I don't know if you can argue
really?
It. Like
we actually think that. Like is LSU going to just keep rolling, or was last year an aberration? Because last year feels like an aberration to me. Like you're not going to get Joe Burrow and Joe Brady again. Like those guys are gone. Now you got Ja'Marr Chase, you got Stingley, you got some really young talent still there on campus, but it feels like last year was Ed O's
peak.
Yeah.
I mean, they're 15-0.
No,
that,
I don't know.
That might have been the greatest team that we've ever seen.
I was just going to say, it feels like it was his Mona Lisa, his Sistine Chapel. Like, that was his masterpiece.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's never going to come close to that
again.
He
painted his masterpiece.
Right. Never going to happen again.
Never going to win a national title again.
I would say that.
Probably not. But
right? I mean, if we're saying Ed O, national champion ever again, I'm going, like, as a head coach, I'm going to say no.
Chances are no. Yeah.
Cam, you locking in yes or no? You think Ed O can win another title at LSU? Or will win another title? I know he can, but will he win another title?
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I mean, the odds are that he won't, you know. Well, but the thing is, like, I think he's just as good as Jimbo, Kirby, guys like that.
That's
fair.
I mean,
it's kind of the same.
I mean, if you look at 3 through 10, the only person I would right now lock in and say that person will win a national title is probably Ryan Day.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's even going to be because of Ryan Day. Like, I think if Ryan Day went to any other school besides Ohio State, Ryan Day would not be in this conversation. But I just feel like the talent Ohio State gets every year, he will be able to I feel confident that sometime in the next 10 years, Ryan Day will win a national championship.
As long as he keeps getting talent, yeah. I mean, it'll...
Which, I mean, you look at this recruiting class we talked about. He had two of the top 15 players, and they were both defensive linemen. Like, he has two just absolute monsters coming in on the defensive line. They are an NFL factory. They are a defensive NFL factory. Like, I feel confident with that. Maybe as soon as next year. Like, I feel like, you know, Alabama's going to be in the conversation, I guess. But for me right now, if you locked in, I would say Ohio State, Clemson, or the field. Like, that's my bet next year. I'll even give you the field with Alabama. You'll get the entire SEC.
So, for next year's national champion?
Yeah, I would take Ohio State or Clemson.
So you're not including Alabama in your...
I'm not going to include them just because I don't feel like Mac Jones is that good, and I just don't think they're on
Justin
the same level.
Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence are... I mean, they have the two best quarterbacks.
Right. I don't think that's a hot take. I mean, it might be when you hear that I'm not putting the SEC in there because the SEC, of course, best conference in football. But I'm simply saying Clemson or Ohio State versus the field. That's the bet. You know, the last couple of years it's been Alabama or Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you took the field last year, you win. LSU gets you to the counter, cha-ching. That, for me, this year is Clemson, Ohio State. Just two best quarterbacks, a lot of talent. Been there last year. Clemson, easy schedule. Ohio State, not as tough of a schedule as an SEC grind. So, you know, with all due respect to Penn State and Michigan, I guess. But
yeah,
easier to win the Big Ten than it is the SEC. So I feel confident Ryan Day will win a national championship at Ohio State. I would put that on the board. I think that happens.
Unless he pulls like a Mark Helfrich and ends
that's
up
possible.
Just, like, once all of Urban's guys are gone, he ends up just not being that great, you know?
Now, the difference there is I would say, you know, like, Oregon is an Ohio State. You know what I mean?
They never had the talent. They had Chip Kelly's scheme.
Right. But, like, you know, once you lose the guy who was ahead of the game and everyone else kind of catches up to the spread, you can't replace it. I don't feel like that's the same scenario here at Ohio State, who is a traditional powerhouse, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, you know, they aren't Oregon.
Right, right. Yeah, they are one of the mainstays. So, are Kirby and Jimbo in there?
They're in the top 10, obviously. I mean, I think everyone would – there's no real surprises in the top 10. The top 10, really the top 12 – the top 12, I feel pretty comfortable that you could nail. Like, you're not going to guess somebody that's not in the top 12.
Right. Yeah, I feel like we...
So, Kirby and Jimbo, yeah, they come in at 6 and 7.
So, what do we got? Kirby, Jimbo,
Edo,
Coach O, Ryan Day, Dabo, Saban, that's 6.
Yep.
So, then there's 4 more.
You're missing number 3. We've been looking for the third best coach in the country the last couple of years since Urban Meyer retired. You wanted to take a guess at trying to get number 3. You haven't said it yet. I feel like you should get it.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I should, probably.
Yeah. You should.
Pretty obvious, huh?
I wouldn't call it obvious. But, I mean, like, once I already tell you Kirby and Jimbo and Ryan Day aren't there and Ed O, like, I feel like it becomes a little bit easier.
Yep. Maybe I'm just blanking on it, you know?
Long night last night?
Are they going to go, no, I mean, I was fine last night, you know? I wasn't the one with my shirt off yelling at General Nealon's statue.
You weren't doing numbers either, baby.
Yeah. You got that big cat retweet.
You weren't doing numbers either, baby. Brand is strong.
Yeah. Good job.
187,000 views.
See if we can ride the brand straight to New York City.
I'm more of a Chicago guy.
You just put on a big coat and I'll hang on the back of it and we'll go to New York.
We'll go to Chicago. More of a Chicago guy.
Chicago?
Yeah.
Chicago, I'd go to Chicago.
I think they'd send you back home.
Am I missing? Chris Peterson?
Chris Peterson's the longer
coach. I know. Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
Probably Lincoln Riley. Yeah. I kept thinking, like, where
Chris Peterson's not coaching anymore. He retired.
Yeah. No, I know.
Yeah. Lincoln Riley comes in at number three.
Okay. I guess they're going to throw, like, Harbaugh in there somewhere.
They
shouldn't.
Wow. Okay. So, no, you did not land in the top 10. Now, you got to the 12. That was right at the cutoff, but you didn't get it. You're outside the top 10.
Well, I said they shouldn't. So, James Franklin.
I feel like that counts as a guess. Jim Harbaugh comes in at number 12, which he was number 15 last year, so he raised a couple spots. He is up to number 12 in the coaching rankings.
If anything, he should be falling by the year. James Franklin.
Number 9.
James Franklin definitely going to be in there.
So you're missing number 5 and number 8.
Dan Mullen.
Comes in at number 8.
Missing number 5.
Missing number 5.
Missing number 5. Missing
number 5. The conversation around number 5 has been ever-changing over the last 7-8 years. Right now it's trending upwards. Hot name. Came in, elite, kind of fell off a little bit. Everyone's like, oh, is this guy actually good? And then he reminded everybody, no, wait, I am actually really good, and winning again.
Mac Brown.
You nailed it.
That was a joke.
Oh, you don't want to guess Mac Brown?
It's not Mac Brown.
Have you seen his recruiting class? Did you see what he did last year?
You're not going to pull
Mac
that
Brown's
one.
Elite.
I'm not going to let you pull that wool over
National
my eyes.
National champion.
Who am I missing? Who am I missing? I always
the description I just gave. It was pretty damn. You should get it. Like Cam knows it.
Does he?
I think so.
Do you want to?
I mean,
you want to let Cam steal it from you?
I'm pretty sure I know it. I'm just.
Oh, you're pretty sure?
I'm just kind of blanking.
Well, if you want to pass it to Cam, Cam can try to.
Well, this is. I mean, I've been the one guessing here. This is my game.
Cam, do
guessing.
You want to try to?
Tom
steal
Herman.
From
wouldn't be Tom Herman.
You can't do that. You guessed Tom Herman.
Paul Christ.
Can't. Just 0 for 2.
Geez.
Cam, would you like a chance to steal?
Do I not get credit for guessing 11 out of the 12?
No, because those were all easy, and you missed another easy one. You can't even get number 5.
You
could even
give me
get
a
the
geographical
entire top
area.
5.
Give me a geographical area.
I don't think he belongs here, but
I already have.
The description makes me think it's Brian Kelly.
Ah, Cam wins.
Ah, there it is. Yeah. Notre Dame.
I did give you a geographical area already. You get
conferences.
We were talking about Chicago. We were just talking about Chicago. Notre Dame, kind of close to there.
Yeah, South Bend, Indiana.
Yeah.
It's on the lake, pretty much.
Close.
I was thinking...
the description was good, right? Hot name.
Yeah.
Got his chance and
killed somebody, yep.
Well, then that was a part of the decline. That was a part of the valleys. I mean, he killed somebody, and, you know, they were almost wanting to use that as an excuse to fire him when they started losing games, even though, like, he did it, like, during the winning season, I'm pretty sure, like, whenever they were really good. But I think he's had a really nice bounce back where he's reminded everybody of, no, wait, I'm actually really good, and I'm doing this at Notre Dame, and... You know, it's a little bit tougher here. Because, I mean, he's bounced back with some pretty good seasons, right?
Yeah.
Made the playoff again. Yeah.
I mean, you know, he went 4-8 in 2016, and it did not look good for him.
I'd just like to point out that I was blanking on that because I was thinking by conferences. Notre Dame, obviously, not in a conference. So.
Although some would say they're loosely affiliated with the ACC. 10-3, 12-1, 11-2. That's his recent run. So, I mean, like, yeah, it's been a nice bounce back after 4-8 for Brian Kelly. And now he's firmly back in the top 5 here on CBS's rankings. You want to take a shot at number 11? Because I think this one would be the toughest of the top 12, I think, to get.
Paul Christ?
No.
Gary Patterson?
Nope.
David Shaw?
Nope. David Shaw? You think Stanford is...
Paul Christ is not... He should
be
like...
He's not the top 12.
He should be
he's
up there.
He's not the top 15. Number 17.
I guess I give Barry Alvarez credit for that.
You've already struck out. Cam, you want a chance to really cement your legacy here in the head coaching game? This one would be a little bit tougher.
Oof, yeah. I'm trying to. Jeez.
Okay, you don't have a guess.
Mike Leach.
You don't have a guess either.
I'll give you a guess. I'll give you a guess.
You're on a clock here.
I'm going to say.
Bo Schembechler.
Is it Whittingham?
No. Wow, Cam, again.
Woody Harrelson.
No, Cam got it.
Oh, Kyle Whittingham?
Cam just dominated during that game.
I got 9 of them.
You didn't get. And Cam went 2-0.
I cleaned you up.
I got 10 of them, and he got 2.
You got 10 of them in 15 or 17 guesses. Congratulations.
You struck out 9 people, then you guessed, left the bases loaded.
You guessed Bo Schembechler. That's who you were guessing was Bo Schembechler.
I mean, if we're talking all time, you know.
Good job by you, Cam. You want to try number 13 just for see how good you are at this? You can pass, because it's a big name. I vehemently disagree with this ranking, though.
Number 13.
So it's a guy you don't like.
I won't even say I don't like him. I just say I disagree with this. He,
It's not Pete Carroll.
No, it's...
I know you dislike Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll's in the NFL. This is a college
ranking. Right.
This guy's kind of annoying. His teams are always good, never great. That's how I would describe him, without giving anything away.
Teams are always good, but not great.
Good, not great, never going to win anything big, annoying to me.
Oh, Gundy.
Good job by you.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm reading about Joe Rogan going to Spotify.
100 million.
It's a big
Joe Rogan cast out. Like, if I'm him,
you're in the bag.
If I'm him, I'm like, sorry, Dana, I don't really have time to do this whole UFC stuff anymore. 100 mil. Cam, you want to keep going? Oh, Cody got that one. Never mind. Yeah. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hi, this is Lizzie McDean.
You want I feel like I'm giving pretty good descriptions of these coaches. So you want to try number 14 just to see if
based
you can do
on
it?
Your description?
Yep.
Yeah. What can you give me?
I'm not going to give conferences. I'm not going to give anything like colors or anything. I'm doing it straight, category style.
Based on the guy.
Is that the game? Not categories. Categories
or girl.
Too. Catchphrase, things like that. No, right. No women.
No, there's no women on the list.
No women on the list.
Now that's a problem. I mean, that's why don't we talk about that? The lack of female coaches in college football.
And the lack of representation in the top 25.
Yeah, don't care for that.
This coach has been around for a long, long time. Was a punchline.
Bill Snyder.
He's
is he still alive?
He's still alive, not no longer coaching. This guy's been around for a long, long time.
Joe Paterno. What?
Do you not want to play?
Okay, I'll stop. Please continue. Been around for a long, long time.
Was a punchline for a while. Has slowly regained respect. Was a punchline for how much money he made. I feel like I would have gotten this by now, just for the record.
Well, I'm thinking on it. A punchline for how much money he made.
Yep. So and his buyout. How much money he made in his buyout.
So he probably made way too much money. Gus Malzahn?
Okay, Cody is 0-1. Cam?
Ah, damn it.
Has Gus been around for a
long
time?
He had a huge buyout.
He hasn't been around for a long, long time.
Well, it depends on how many a long, long time is.
When I hear a long, long time, how long has he been at Auburn? Since 2012, 10?
I mean, that's better part of a decade.
2012?
Better part of a decade.
That's not a long, long time.
Okay.
What a terrible guess. Cam, please save this. Please save this.
Top 25 teams, longtime coach.
I don't think I'll say anything about top 25 teams. But
well, I would assume. If he's
the
top.
I was just going to say I didn't say that because that was part of the clues I said I wasn't going to give. Like, okay.
I would just assume that. So,
yeah. I didn't say it, but I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just, I just wanted to point that out. Wow. I thought this one was the easiest one. You got Gundy just off of being annoying.
Well,
I'm going to go.
That's the most annoying guy I could think of. We're thinking on it.
I don't even remember this guy's name.
Okay, that's probably a good sign. But continue that train of thought. I feel like you're onto something
here.
But
I think I know the school.
Okay, give me the school, and then Cody can maybe slam down the alley-oop.
Is it Iowa's guy?
There you go.
Kirk Ferentz.
There you okay, go. Yes, I have no idea of his name. But,
well, we teamed up on it.
I get a little credit for not
I'll give
name.
You. You are the DeAndre Jordan of Talk Sports. You catch alley-oops and play defense.
Yeah, somebody's got to put the ball in the hole.
Sometimes playing defense on our actual show, but you are catching alley-oops and playing defense. Congratulations to Cam. Wow. Impressed.
That's like the only like mainstay school 20, I can think of.
21 years.
Nobody remembers Iowa.
I know, but Kirk Ferentz was a punchline. Everyone was like, how much money does Kirk Ferentz make? Why is Iowa paying him $4 million a year? He was like the third highest paid coach in the league or in the country for a while.
Did you say Ferentz?
I say Ferentz, Ferentz.
Ferentz, Ferentz. I don't know if I've ever heard Ferentz.
Kirk Ferentz. Yeah, sometimes Kirk I just. Yeah, Kirk Ferentz. Whatever.
Kirk Ferentz.
I say Kirk. Congratulations, Cam. Let's keep it going. I love this game. Number 15. New school coach. Many people find him annoying. Was a hot name in the mid-majors. Now getting a chance at Power 5 and has been successful. Has done at his new school what he did at his last school. This guy's a stud, but kind of annoying.
Okay, I think I know this one.
You feel good, Cody? Yeah. You want to try to beat Cam to it? Or okay, Cam?
Is this one Fleck?
PJ Fleck. Good. Matt Campbell, huh?
He went to the NFL.
No, he's still at Iowa State.
No, I'm thinking of Baylor guy.
Yes.
What's his name?
Matt Rhule.
Matt Rhule, yeah.
Good job by you, Cam. Okay. Number 16. All right, let's keep it going until Cam misses. Filling a hot streak. Let's go. Filling a hot streak. I feel like these are pretty good descriptions, too.
No, that was that one was
not
a good
to pat myself on the back.
Let's do some clues.
I just want to pat myself on the back a little bit. Why are you in a rush for? You're not going to get it right. Why do you care how long this takes?
Just give me the clues.
Number 16, a little bit older, been around for a while, took this school to
great
relevance.
Clues.
Huh?
Great clues.
I'm working into it. Took this school to relevancy, been a little bit tough recently, but.
Gary Patterson.
There you go. Okay. Good job by you. Pretty good clues, obviously.
Yeah.
Number 7, Paul Chryst. Number 18, Gus Malzahn. We've already kind of guessed those. I don't want to rehash those.
Very well.
Number 19 was the hottest name in coaching in terms of jumping to the NFL and has fallen off the map to the point where we don't even know if he's good anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know this
one. Yeah. Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Would you like to go ahead and say it, Cody?
Yeah, well, he missed his window.
Definitely.
He could have gone to the NFL. Really
definitely. He could have gotten any NFL job he wanted, really.
Yeah. He was a hot commodity at the time, and he's faded since then.
Definitely.
You know, things.
I don't even know if he's any good anymore. Like, no. I don't know if he'll get fired or not, but, like, I don't think he's any good until he proves it.
Yep. That's,
so you definitely know this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know it. I'll let Cam do this one. I think I did the last one.
You sure?
Yeah, because I got the last one.
I don't want to steal your glory.
Cam's going to like nudge ahead of you or even further ahead of you in this game.
No, I got like 10 out of the first 12, so.
Cam, go ahead.
David Shaw.
These are worth 3 points each. Yes, congratulations.
Yep. David Shaw.
Mac Brown, number 20.
I said David Shaw.
Oh, yeah, he's elite.
Mac Brown, number 20.
Les Miles at 21.
All right, here's where it's going to get interesting. Let's put you to the test. Let's put you to the test, Cam. Cam's doing awesome at this game.
I agree. We're both doing a good
Cam
job.
Cam is fantastic this game. You kind of suck.
We're both doing pretty good.
You did get Gary Patterson, which I don't know if Cam would have gotten Gary Patterson. I think he would have.
I was leaning that way.
I think he would have gotten it, but you did a good job. Number 21.
Funny how you never have to guess these and make yourself look bad while I'm trying to think.
I have the hard part of giving the clues. That's the hard part.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right, give me
that's
another
the hard part.
I'm ready.
This guy's a nerd.
Eli Drinkwitz.
Not a bad guess,
yeah,
but
just based on the information.
There was a comma.
Okay.
This guy is a nerd, gets a lot of respect from the journalist types. Younger. Kind of feels like he's at his ceiling, though. Kind of feels like his chance is over. This one's going to be a little bit tougher. Those weren't very good clues.
Okay.
There's not much about this guy.
Okay.
I mean, I can say he looks like a football player, but I feel like that's a little bit too much.
So he's a
military guy, just kind of.
Pat Fitzgerald.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was saying, once you said that.
I was going to say, I feel like that was a little bit too much. Yeah, that was too much. That's on me.
Yeah, good guess by me.
Yeah, too much by me on the clues there.
Yeah, he just
looks like a football player slash military type, the flat top. Nerd. I mean, I don't know if he's actually a nerd.
Can you be a nerd and be a military guy?
You're right. Yeah, I think you can.
You never see a nerdy military guy.
That's not true.
They're usually beefy guys. I had an uncle
who was kind of a nerd that was a military guy.
Really?
Yeah.
But not like a big military guy.
Pat Fitzgerald's not huge. I mean, he's not.
He's pretty jacked, isn't he?
He's pretty strong.
Looks like a strength coach.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, maybe he's not a nerd. I said that mostly because it was Northwestern. And the journalists love him because, you know, all the journalists went to Northwestern, so they're always like, oh, we love Pat Fitzgerald. He's so
good. I don't know if I've ever seen a jacked nerd.
They get super strong from dragging their rolling book bags around the school.
Yeah, they usually have one really big arm.
There's bricks in there. They're working out. That's a workout.
Yeah. Dragging their book bag. Go up and kick it.
Number 22, hot coaching name. Hot coaching name. Relatively hot coaching name. Has done really well at his school, better than anybody's ever done at his school, really. And got a lot of credit last year for winning without a lot around him, or winning against adversity.
Herm Edwards.
Not a bad guess. I don't think we could say he's done better at his school than ever before. I feel like Arizona State, didn't they used to be pretty good?
I don't know.
Didn't the Sun Devils used to be pretty good?
I think at one point.
I don't remember them being good. But
do they have a quarter? Is that where Brian Greasy went? I don't even know that up. Where did Brian Greasy went to Michigan, maybe? Where did Brian Greasy? Who is Arizona State famous quarterbacks?
I don't think Jake Plummer?
I'm thinking of Jake Plummer, maybe?
I don't know, man.
Jake Plummer went to Arizona State, right?
I don't know. They're mainly known for the hot chicks that go there to party who can't get into USC.
Yeah. Jake Plummer didn't go to Arizona State. Okay, that's what I was thinking. All right, these clues might be getting worse, but I feel like.
It's tough.
Any other hints?
I mean, I don't want to give away it.
Initials?
Don't want to give it away. Has had the best run at his school, at least since, you know, the last 50 years.
Does he like to read?
He doesn't look like a reader, but that's all I'm going to say. Relatively hot coaching name.
Is he black?
This isn't a yes or no question. This isn't 21 questions. You don't get to try
Is
to get
he that. Chinese?
He is not Chinese. I will give you that clue. That's the last clue I'm giving you.
Okay, so not Chinese. Okay, that narrows it down.
It's not a Chinese guy. You wouldn't answer if he's black, so he may be a black guy.
Huh. He may be a black guy. He may not be a black guy.
Thinking of black guys.
Ooh. Best
it's not Sylvester Croom.
Is. Are you done here, Cam? Is this it? Is your run over? Could you not make it all the way to the top 25?
I'm gonna figure this out. I'm trying to think of schools that are having good runs right now.
Overcame a lot of adversity last year. Got a lot of credit for winning without a lot around him.
All right, I think I got a guess.
All right.
Is it our neighbor to the north, Stoops, up there?
There we go, Cam.
Ooh, good guess.
Okay. Let's go.
Okay.
Good guess.
I thought those clues were vague enough, but
the adversity. Yeah. I think kind of.
He had a
wide
receiver at quarterback last year, and still, you know, pulled that team to some wins.
Our neighbors to the north.
This guy was a winner at the Group 5 level. Okay. Got his chance at the
Scott Satterfield.
Got his chance at the Power 5. I would say had a really successful year last year. Got his name back.
Scott People Satterfield.
Good. You are incorrect.
Per usual.
That's all I'm going to give you on this one.
Derek.
Successful year last year. Used to be a Group 5 coach. Really good name as a Group 5 coach. And has had success now at his first Power 5.
Has he been there longer than this past year?
Yes. Yes. Okay. He's built this program up. Okay. So he has built the program up. Is the game over? Is this a weird game now? Have we taken it too long? Because I'm still having fun.
Is it the guy at Syracuse?
Dino?
Is that your guess?
Dino Babers?
It is not Dino Babers. All right, Cam, no more guesses. This
Dino Babe. That'd be a cool nickname if you're...
Dino Babe?
Dino Babe.
You could probably make a lot of... You could probably make a lot of money on OnlyFans and Twitch.
Dino Babe.
By being the Dino Babe, yeah. If OK Boomer Girl... rebrand herself as
okay, Boomer,
the Dino Babe, and dress up like a sexy dinosaur, I might give her my my Twitch subscription.
Whatever you say.
All right, Cam, need a guess.
Dave Doran.
No, I don't think that's it. I'm gonna go.
If you get this one, I'll be impressed.
I think you gave good clues, though. I think you gave good clues.
Scott Frost.
Thank you.
I'm going.
I appreciate you for saying that.
Have I gotten it yet?
You suck at this game.
Justin Fuente.
Stop guessing and quit trying to ruin it.
I was almost where I was going.
Stop trying to ruin the game.
I'm trying to guess.
I think you're in the right. It's Bronco, isn't
it? Yeah.
Wow. Bronco Mendenhall.
Once you said Fuente, I was like, oh, yeah, it's got to be in that. Yeah.
Mario Cristobal, Matt Campbell, that rounds out your top 25.
I think Cam was looking at the list.
That would be really funny if Cam was looking at the list and was just really playing it off as if he hadn't.
Trying to order a pizza, man.
When you look at the 26 through like 35, you see some notable names. You see some guys that have really dropped. The biggest drop of this from this year to last year would be Chip Kelly, who went from being the 14th ranked coach in the country to 36th. One spot ahead of who you were just about to guess, Justin Fuente. Two spots ahead of Cody's guy, Scott Frost, who also fell out of the top 25. Not been a good run for Scott Frost at Nebraska so far. Lane Kiffin comes in at number 35. And then behind Fuente, Jeremy Pruitt. Jeremy Pruitt rises 14 spots. He's up to number 38 in the country.
What's the description they got on there? What's the reasoning there?
Pruitt finishes. This should help fill airtime and radio airtime in Knoxville for a few weeks. Pruitt finishes a spot higher than Greg Schiano, who was number 39. If not for a Tennessee fan revolt in Knoxville, Pruitt wouldn't be there.
I've heard of that.
It should fill radio airtime.
We filled some airtime with it.
I guess, yeah.
But not really.
I guess we can't really say.
Well, we didn't fill airtime. I mean, he thought we'd fill airtime with Pruitt being ranked ahead of Schiano, which that doesn't matter to me.
That guy can shove a Lysol can.
Fornelli also says that he actually had Pruitt ranked at number 27. So he had him, 11 spots higher than he actually came in. So somebody there is really hating Pruitt and dropped him a lot. Yeah, so 38 for Pruitt. Cody, too high, too low, just right.
We'll see.
We'll see. Is it an option? Too high, too low, just right?
Just right. Just right.
I can make it just right for now if you want.
Yeah.
I still don't think anybody knows if he's going to be an elite type coach.
I do need to see a season where he doesn't lose to Georgia State.
Right, right. And as good as we finished last year, I think we got better as a team. But, he needs to beat a couple of big opponents. And he seems like a great recruiter. I'll give it just right for now. I think his ceiling is high, though.
I'm going to put it up as a poll question.
I can already tell you how that's going to go.
Way too low?
Yeah. Yeah, most people are just going to say he should be higher.
What if I make
it... He is a hot name right now.
What if I make it 28th or 27th where Fornelli ranked him?
You have to emphasize that it's just off his coaching ability, because I think people have the recruiting stuff in mind right now, and I think that's... bumping them up in people's minds.
Is that not part of it, you think? That's part of what has made Saban so successful.
That's true, but...
I don't know.
Yeah, it's gonna...
So 27th seems like a better debate, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I still think a lot of, Tennessee people are gonna vote he should be higher, though.
I think it'll be a pretty fair split. Because there'll be a lot of people like you that'll say you lost to Georgia State.
I just think he's got a pretty high approval rating right now. Highest he's ever had. The way things are going right now on the recruiting trail.
I don't know, man. A lot of people are excited about Coach Dugs.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. I guess the flame's kind of wearing out a little bit for Pruitt right now. Now that Coach Dugs is in town.
I think at 27th we'll get a good mix.
I wonder if we could get Coach Dugs on the show.
Do we want that?
Yeah.
Okay. We follow each other, so see what I can do.
Oh, he followed you back?
He followed me first.
Coach Dugs did?
Yeah.
Congrats.
I wasn't bragging. I was just letting you know.
You're kind of bragging.
Well, you're kind of insulting me a little bit by saying he followed you back. Kind of insulted me a little bit.
It's not insulting. You said
you were low key trying to insult
you
me.
You started it with we follow each other. We follow each other, as in not.
We do
like,
follow each other. That means I'm able to slide into his DMs.
Right, right, yeah.
Then you try to say, oh, he followed you back, implying that I followed him first, and I was just letting you know that your slight was incorrect.
Kind of felt like you were saying he followed me. Didn't follow you, of course, but followed me.
Why would he have followed you?
That's kind of how it felt to me.
Why would he have followed you?
Yeah, right, yeah. Kind of felt like you were taking a shot at me.
I was not at all. You were taking a shot at me by asking me to follow back. I know how the Twitter game works.
I feel like you're trying to make me jealous that Coach Duggs is not following me, but he's following
you. I wasn't trying to do that at all.
That's how I took it.
This has gone to your head. This has created a riff on the show. Hour one on the books.
I'm going to take down Coach Duggs.
Hour two on deck is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, looking at the poll question I put up on Fox Sports Knox's Twitter account, Tom Fornelli ranked Jeremy Pruitt as the 27th best coach in the country. Too high, too low, just right for now. 222 votes are in. You want to take a guess on how the breakdown has gone?
Yes. I'll say 40% say too low.
31% say too low, including me. I just voted too low.
You voted on your own poll?
It's Fox Sports Knoxville polls, but I'm allowed to vote on it as well.
Oh. Kind of skews the results, doesn't it?
Do I not count? Does my opinion not count?
It does, but it's your poll, though.
It's the Fox Sports Knoxville Twitter account's poll.
Yeah, but it's your poll.
Did you vote in it?
No. Thought it would be against the rules for me to vote.
62% say just right for now. 7% say too high.
Very well. 7% are just miserable people.
Well, I mean, I don't. 7%, that probably is a pretty good representation of the people who are just miserable. You're probably right there.
Typically.
Yeah. No arguments there.
That's typically how I vote in polls. I just vote for the.
Which everyone's going to make the people
mad. The one
to
mess up
one.
The poll.
Yeah, that's you.
Yep, that's me.
Would you consider yourself a miserable person?
Yeah.
Chaos agent.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
I'm pretty unhappy.
Well, like I told you in the CBS coach rankings, Jeremy Pruitt came in at number 38 on their list. 27 on Tom Fornelli, the author's list. But, I mean, if you look, you said 38 felt about right, didn't you? Just in what that you know, just in terms of what you have seen so far on the field?
Yeah.
Which I do think you have to take recruiting and consider that as well. Like, I don't think it's just on the field. And neither does Tecval. He wrote in, he thinks it's 50% recruiting, 30% development and culture, 20% actual game day coaching. I don't know if I would put, or maybe that was about Coach. Never mind. Sorry, Tecval. I don't know what that was in relation to. But when it comes to grading a coach, like, what would the breakdown be? Like, what would you rather have, an ace recruiter, an ace developer, or an ace game day coach? Or what would be the breakdown? Would it be 50%? You just want somebody who can really recruit, and as long as they're not a bad game day coach and can have a good culture and develop, like, you can still win 8, 9, 10 games a year?
If you just had to pick one or the other?
Yeah.
I think I'd rather have a guy that recruits well and gets really good players in. Must be the Domino's man outside.
Pizza man. We don't give free pub. Pizza man.
Ah, yeah. It's everybody okay. Knows Domino's. I mean.
Yeah, but now people are thinking about it.
I mean, we talk about every other restaurant.
Fair enough.
Wendy's, Sonic, Burger King.
Fair enough. 50% of it recruiting. You want somebody who's just an ace there?
I would rather have the good recruiter who can't coach as well than the good coach who doesn't have good players.
Okay. Well, how would you grade Pruitt's skills in those? Like, Pruitt's strengths to you, recruiting, culture and development, game day coaching? Like,
he seems kind of well-rounded. I don't know if he's elite at anything, but he seems well-rounded.
I think he's a pretty good developer. You saw some of the guys kind of blossom in his
on defense, at least.
Yeah,
not really
defensively,
on offense.
Yeah,
not
defensively, for sure.
On offense, I can't point to too many people developing. I mean, the offensive line ended up being pretty solid by the end of the year, but, I mean, it was against the bottom tier SEC teams, right? Yeah. Like, I don't know if the offense, if they would have been able to do anything against, you know, Florida and Georgia.
Yeah, that's
by the end of the year, because, I mean, like, you know, they had been playing better, but against bad opponents.
Pruitt
defense,
to me.
Defense, though, you're right. Defense, you saw a lot of guys develop. You saw Darrell Taylor, you saw Nigel Warrior. Those guys went. Yeah. And I know Nigel Warrior didn't get drafted, but he was all SEC safety. Yeah. Like, that was pretty big.
Yeah.
That was pretty big development under him. Daniel Batuli, I feel like, got better under him. So, when you combine that with where what he's done at his other stops, I feel pretty good about Pruitt developing defense. Now, we'll see. I'm really interested to see this year's offense.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is it another year under Pruitt and Pruitt's system and more familiarity, but another year under Chaney. And, you know, just you're starting to get more of your guys in there and hopefully guys that can kind of match up with what you want to do. Like, it's your it's your third year. Usually that's when you start getting judged on what you bring in. So I'll hold off on the developing offense, but yes, defense, I fully agree. Yeah. And I do feel like if we're just going by text breakdown, like the 30% development culture feels like Tennessee's got a pretty good culture going right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would say so for sure. I mean, like we said, we touched on defensive development. And, of course, we see the recruiting class right now looks good. So it's just if he can maintain and keep doing that.
So I do agree with those three. It does seem like Pruitt isn't a negative in any of those. Now, the actual game day coaching would have been – you would have felt a lot different about it after weeks one and two, right? You know, coming off of a 5-7 year, you come out and lose two in a row to Georgia State and BYU, the game day coaching would have gotten bad remarks. But, you know, again, I want to see how he handles offensive situations a little bit more, but – Pruitt's game day coaching, what would you grade it at, Cody? Because I feel like the defense, top 25, the defense was really good by the end of last year. And I feel like I liked his coaching when it came to offense for the most part in terms of being aggressive on fourth downs. I liked the fact that he did not get married to a quarterback.
I like that about him too. And I like – it seems like he's willing to make changes when he seems like – the when he feels like he should, you know. He's not just going to stick with a guy just because he made some promises, I think. So I think that that's good. And
like, you won't see very many people treat a quarterback like a sixth man. Like, you won't see – like, usually the quarterback is the sacred position, right, where you put somebody in and then you stick with them. That's always the thought process, right? Like, when you go to the backup quarterback, well, if you're going to put him in, you got to stick with him and ride it out. If you're going to put the young guy in, you can't be juggling him around – because it'll mess his confidence up. When you make the switch, you got to stick with it. And Jeremy Pruitt didn't subscribe to that. And, you know, with this fourth-year junior, he looked around and said, you're not getting it done right now, go to the bench. We'll bring you back in a little bit. And, you know, again, the first half of the season wasn't great. But the second half, I feel like he hit the right notes and made the right moves most of the time. And you were rewarded by winning six games in a row. Now, again, you didn't beat anybody great, but you won six games in a row, and that's pretty good for year two.
I think the game day defense is good.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty good. You remember the Auburn game?
Yep.
2018, and it was the first time that we kind of saw it on display where he was, like, basically telling a guy what was going to happen on the play.
Yep. You saw him leaned over telling, was it Schamberger from the nickel, like, hey, go blitz now. Like, they're getting ready to go in motion. Like, here you go.
Yeah. And he was I think he's good at stuff like that. I mean, the guy, he's been around defense his whole life. I think he's a good game day coach on defense.
Jeremy Pruitt or Justin Fuente?
Jeremy Pruitt. I'll take my guy over Justin Fuente.
Jeremy Pruitt or Chip Kelly in 2020?
Well, Chip Kelly kind of got figured out. I mean, what he did at the
he's
time.
He's behind now.
He's gone 3-9 and 4-8.
Yeah, he's benign. Like, he was so innovative, but now everybody does the same thing.
Right.
And, like, when he came back down, like, he didn't change anything. So, like, now he's in the past almost.
Other teams built on what he did.
So like, now he's an innovator.
He's an innovator, but that's why I specified 2020.
Yeah, I think I'd take Pruitt.
I think I would, too. When you factor in the SEC staff – that Pruitt put
together.
Sure,
we can make it a whole entire coaching staff if you want.
Yeah,
just. And the ability to, if, you know, like.
I never.
You got to have the ability to fill the staff back out, right? Because, like, what happens when you start winning is you see people leave your staff, but you got to be willing to continue to build your staff and, you know, get good people to come up. Then I think Tennessee, I feel pretty confident where they're going to head that way. Like, if they lose a Derek Ansley, It would suck for recruiting purposes, but I feel like Tennessee would go out and get a big-time defense coordinator. I feel like the ties he has in the South is pretty damn good, and so far, like, Chip Kelly's staff doesn't seem great. Like, I can't name anybody on Chip Kelly's staff right now.
And UCLA's a place where you should be able to win. Like, things are not good for him there, you know? I never thought I would have said it 2 years ago, when the coaching search was going on. Like, Chip Kelly was at the top of the list, you know? Mm-hmm. And I never would have thought, yeah, I'd rather have Jeremy Pruitt than him. But hindsight, now that we know what we know, I think I go Pruitt.
I'm not giving up on Chip Kelly yet. I don't think Chip Kelly's done. I don't know Chip Kelly's done. Let me take that back. I think he's done.
I think he is.
I don't know he's done. He can still get off the mat. And he can still bounce back and, you know, year three, year four, start getting UCLA back on the back on track.
Yeah. I think he's cooked.
I guess he is starting to get his recruiting classes in there. And he did show flashes last year.
Yeah, they had a couple of good games.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's going to have to get more innovative. Yeah, he's going to somehow.
Well, he was a genius for his time.
Yeah.
But now everybody's just taking what he did and they built on it.
Yeah, so like now.
And he hasn't really adapted.
Yeah.
Jeremy Pruitt or number 35, Lane Kiffin?
Oh, now you're getting me in the feels. You know how I feel about Lane.
I'm just asking. I'm going down the list of Jeremy Pruitt versus the people ranked ahead of him on this list.
I would almost call them almost like opposite versions of each other, because I think Lane's like one of the best offensive game day like play callers, and I think Pruitt's so good at the defensive play calling.
I think Lane would be more fun. I think we'd be scoring a bunch of points.
He's bringing Kendall Bras with him.
I mean, yeah, I think it's the flip. I think it just flips it.
Hope so. He can bring Art if he wants to. No, that's too far. It's too far. It would be a good offense, though.
So I'm putting you down for Kiffin?
I take Kiffin. He's my boy.
Scott Frost?
So we're going names above Pruitt.
Yeah, I'm going the guys ranked ahead of Pruitt right now to see, you know, just how far up you would put him on the list.
Man, Scott, he hasn't really done anything at Nebraska yet.
4-8 and 5-7. He is so I guess that would make him, 9-15?
I'll take Pruitt. I'll take Pruitt.
Justin Wilcox?
He's kind of like Pruitt.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take
Without the recruiting.
I'll take Pruitt. Pruitt having the Southern ties and the staff and being able to recruit like he's recruiting right now has really raised him up in my book.
And I just feel like Pruitt's a better defensive coordinator than Justin Wilcox, too. Like, I mean, Wilcox is great, but Pruitt's a better version of him.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
I'd take Pruitt over him.
Went 8-5 last year, same as Tennessee.
I don't want to be too high on Jeremy Pruitt. Like, there's still a chance of regression probably, but I feel pretty hopeful right now.
Dave Clawson?
Pruitt.
Scott Satterfield?
Pruitt.
I don't know. I think Satterfield's really, really good. I'd take Pruitt over Clawson, but Satterfield went from 2-10 to 8-5 in his first year. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that is good. Did he build Appalachian State?
I believe he did. But I don't know. He wasn't there when they beat Michigan.
Well, no, I know that. But, I mean, they fell off after that, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Did he build them back up? I think that he did. He's regarded as a pretty good coach.
Yeah, I mean, the first year there, he was there at Appalachian State. They were 7-5, then 11-2, 10-3, 9-4, 10-2. The years before he was there, let me see if I can find that. Did our internet go out? Did something happen here?
You're looking at just list of Appalachian State seasons?
Yeah, but I this link.
It's okay if you can't find it.
Yeah.
It's usually on Wikipedia. List of Appalachian writers? No.
Well, I was on Satterfield, and then like it linked to Appalachian State, so I clicked there. They were, before he got there, yeah, they were, what the hell?
You want me to find it?
Did they not, what is this?
You okay?
I'm just really confused because it has, what are we doing here? Sports Reference, sports-reference.com, one of my favorite websites on the planet. I use it all the time. Basketball Reference, Pro Football Reference, Sports Reference. I use it all the time. when I type in Appalachian State record by year, it goes 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 1981.
Well, luckily,
so I guess they're going just when they were Division One.
I got it for you here. Yeah,
what were they in 13 and 12?
I'm using Wikipedia, which is the superior service.
That is not usually accurate though when it comes to sports.
He got hired in 2013. Was his first season. So
Jerry Moore was winning before he got there.
That was the guy that beat Michigan.
So he did not build them up.
No, Jerry Moore had won 13, 11, 11, 10, 8, 8.
Okay,
so he had fallen off a little bit, but they were still good. They were still a playoff team.
Gotcha.
But I don't know what happened to Jerry Moore.
They moved up to D1 in 2014.
I think he was just old, right?
Yeah, he might have just retired.
Yeah, because he was coaching since like 89.
Yeah, he was old.
Maybe he retired.
But yeah, they hired him in 2013. They moved to D1 in 2014. And I mean, they went 7-5 the first year D1. And then from there, they went 11, 10, 9, 11, 13.
So Scott Satterfield or no?
I think he's a good coach.
I take Pruitt. I'll stick with my guy.
Your guy.
He was my guy back during the coaching search.
And then you quickly turned on him.
Well, when he lost to Georgia State, yeah. I turned on him when he lost to Georgia State.
Okay.
I don't think I ever said he should have been fired, though. I might have once. Maybe twice. So who's next?
Everyone was out on Pruitt except me at the station. I just want to point that out. Everyone was wanting to fire him. I was kind of annoyed when that was happening. Me and Trey Wallace. Let me backtrack. Me and Trey Wallace. Hmm. My brother that stood next to me.
I didn't say fire him.
You, think. Russell, Nate. I don't know about Houston. Maybe I shouldn't throw Houston out. Houston might have been lumped into that. I don't know.
I was upset with him. I don't think I said fire him.
You 100% did. As did Russell, as did Nate, as did, I want to say, I don't know what Houston said.
To kind of be more pro-chaos before the pandemic.
Oh, you're a changed man?
And I think it was more so that I just wanted to see what would happen.
Well, that's so weird that you claim that, because I remember in 2017, you were defending Butch Jones to the death in the preseason.
Would that not align with pro-chaos, just to see everyone completely melt down and fall apart with it?
You know what?
When are we going to fire him?
You know what?
You know?
I'll give you the point there.
So. Plus, I was a different guy back then.
But I'll still give you the point because that was a nice spin zone. So, I mean, I think Satterfield's good. Herm Edwards.
I'd take him over Herm. Herm's doing a good job, though.
Herm's doing a good job, but I would take Pruitt over him.
Yeah.
Herm, a big riser, went from 54th up to 30th. Mike Norvell?
I'm taking him over Mike Norvell. I wanted him over Mike Norvell even back then.
Tom Herman's his star has fallen. He is all the way down to 28th.
Now, that one, 2 years ago, if you had asked me, I would have said definitely Tom Herman.
Tom Herman probably was around the top 10 almost 2 years ago.
Tom Herman would probably take Jeremy Pruitt over Tom Herman. I mean, if I'm Tom Herman and I'm looking at Tom Herman at Texas.
I'd be like, hey, Jeremy, you want to come here and run the defense? I'll run the offense, and we'll just be co-head coaches.
Maybe we could find a guy, like a local guy named Tom Herman. Call him and see what he thinks.
Okay. Are the yellow pages still a thing?
No, I don't think so. I reached out to Coach Duggs, by the way.
On like a public forum where it looks like we're begging him to come on?
No. I DM'd him.
Okay.
Trying to get him on the show.
Okay.
His DMs are open even to those he doesn't follow.
Hmm.
So you're not so special after all.
Cutcliffe and Mike Leach come in at 27th and 26th. I'm taking Pruitt over Mike Leach at this point.
Over Cutcliffe at this point, too. Cutcliffe's 90 years old by now.
He's an older gentleman.
Yeah.
You don't have to age shame, but he's an older gentleman.
I'm not trying to age shame. I just, you know, he's up there in his career. I'd rather have a younger guy with some energy.
I think Pruitt's a lot closer to the top 25 than where he got ranked. Again, I don't want to sound like I am completely all in buying and praising this guy, but I just feel like what he's proven and what he's doing here in Knoxville, which, whatever, like, I don't necessarily blame the writers of CBS Sports for not knowing or not paying attention. You can't possibly know every single culture of a program, right? You can't know what the feelings are. But here in Knoxville, I think most people are pretty bought into what Jeremy Pruitt's doing. Pretty excited for what's going on.
Yeah, the approval rating right now, I think, is at about, 72%. How do you do an approval rating? Do you just simply ask people, do you approve of the job that Jeremy
Bruce is
doing?
You can do approve, disapprove. You could say strongly approve, slightly disapprove, strongly disapprove.
I hate those. The slightly, strongly. Never like those. I hate when you have to fill out those questionnaires and it's always.
Well, I don't like it in those, but I kind of like it whenever you're doing something like that because it gives more nuance to it than just a simple yes or no.
Yeah, if it's just one question, sure.
I think you should be able to like say like, hey, I'm 85% in on this guy versus I'm 51% and like have those votes count the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If it's just one question, it makes sense. But don't you hate when you do like one of those personality tests?
Yeah, definitely.
Or like
I just hate doing those personality tests in general. So
yeah, it's like because I'm just like then you sit there and think about it. Like it's always like if an old woman needed help crossing the street, would you help her? Or something like that, and it's like
yes, for sure. I would definitely help her.
Strongly agree that she should be helped.
Yes.
Slightly agree that she should be helped. I'm always like, I either feel one way or another. You know, it's like I don't know. I never.
And it's slightly because what if she's independent and doesn't want help?
Yeah. Well, I guess I don't know.
I'm willing to offer my help, but maybe she doesn't need it.
Yeah.
Let's do some Cam's animal facts. You good to go?
Oh, yeah, I can do that.
Coming up after the break, it's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
American Environmental is an industrial cleaning
guy. I'm Steve Irwin.
Holy smokes, that was too close. Danger, danger, danger.
All right, Cam, what animals do we have up on the docket today?
I just got a couple for you. I got the snub-nosed monkey.
The snub-nosed monkey.
And the tegus.
And the what?
Tegus.
All right, let's do it.
It's a type of lizard. But I'll start with the snub-nosed monkey. So there's a variety of these. Most of them live in China, and they're super rare. So there's not a ton of information out there on them. They're known for living up in high elevation, which is one of the reasons that they're so rare and hard to get to. They live up to elevations of like 6,000 to 9,000 feet in the mountains.
These things give me the heebie-jeebies.
They kind of look like Michael Jackson toward the end of his life.
Yeah, that is pretty accurate.
Yeah, and I'm sure you can see why they kind of call them snub nose. It looks like their nose is kind of just like slits in their face. It kind of looks like Voldemort a little bit with the just
be ridiculous.
Nose.
Don't be ridiculous.
But so they live in the mountains and stuff, which it rarely gets over like 75 degrees up there, and temperatures get below freezing in winter, and so it's really tough to get to them. So not a ton of information is known about them, but they're usually about like 2 feet tall, 35 pounds, somewhere around there. Females a little smaller than males.
What happened to their nose?
they got.
I am not sure. Like that's one of those things that people are absolutely not positive of why their nose developed like that.
I don't get what the benefit of evolution this would be like.
They were bred with pugs. They're actually half pug, half monkey.
But yeah, no, there's not like an actual information for that. But they just eat leaves, flowers, fruits, seeds, stuff like that. They're plant eaters. Forage along the ground. Yada yada.
The little
a couple ones. Of them have really big lips, though. The lips are so weird.
The some little
of them
ones
can live
funny.
In groups up to like 500. Like sometimes they're just mobbing up there in the mountains, just chilling, hanging out. But
I'm
yeah,
I'm confused how some of them have weird lips, or some of them have thin lips, and some have really thick, luscious lips.
The little ones kind of look like old men.
Yeah, there's a ton of different types of these. Ugh. There's like the black snub nose. There's the gray snub nose. There's the golden snub nose.
Some of them
there's
are blue.
A big variety. But yeah, they. They're pretty cool monkeys, though. They're just so hard to get to in that elevation. Like, they literally, like we talked about the monkey it's like the rain and the sneezing monkeys. That's a type of snub-nosed monkey.
Okay.
Because, you know, how the nose is designed with the slits, kind of like that. So, not really good for keeping out rain and things like that, but they are kind of I don't think they're quite endangered yet, but habitat loss and stuff like that.
Look at how cute this one looks.
Has kind of ruined some of their stuff.
Look
but
at this. He's so cute.
Imagine seeing one of these things in the woods.
He looks like this one
just chilling in a tree. Yeah. This just one, staring at you.
This hello
one,
there.
This one looks like he belongs in Star Wars.
Yeah, he does.
Okay.
But yeah, they are pretty much... exclusive.
So they're not
China.
Endangered. They're threatened, though. Is that correct?
Yeah, some of the species are endangered, but most aren't. It's just some of the rare ones that kind of split off from the rest of them. It's just kind of how it happens all the time with evolution. You'll get pockets of different types, and those are the ones that kind of end up being a little endangered. But like, yeah, when it's cool, they all huddle together in a big cluster to try and stay warm, stuff like that.
Squad.
But yeah, they squad up to stay warm. So
shout out to the squad.
It's a cool monkey, and they do like to huddle together and kind of do their thing and live in big family groups. And they are they don't stay exclusive to one mate, so they get around.
Hey.
But yeah,
shout out to Tupac.
They are a good time. They are cool monkeys. All right. The Tegus. So the Tegus. That's TEG. U and S, if you want to throw the S on there, it's either Tegu or Tegus, depending on how you're kind of talking about them. So the big thing about these is they are now established in Georgia. So these are actually a really common pet. They get like 4 feet long, big lizards. They're kind of like the monitor lizard family, but they're from South America.
Got to be honest, Cam, you seem like a Tegus guy. It seems like
they're really cool.
Yeah,
they kind of they almost act like dogs. Yeah. You can housebreak these lizards.
Nah, I don't know.
You can house no, dude. They get really attached to their owners. You can housebreak them. They'll follow you around like a puppy. It's really crazy if you ever want to look up videos of Tegus acting like dogs.
Not, I'm out. Thanks,
they like
Cam.
Scratches. It's crazy. Like those.
If you have a Tegus as a pet, you're a weirdo.
Well, the problem is people have these.
You have
these
a reptile as a pet. You're a weirdo.
Oops. Well, these like people used to keep these as pets, or they do keep them as pets. But people release them. There is pockets of them in Florida because everybody releases everything in Florida. Florida has every invasive species, but now Georgia has an established population of these. So there, it was recently in the news.
When you say established population, it just means they are now there. Like,
yeah, like it's like they can keep breeding and stay alive. It's not like there's four of them running around. It's like there's an actual population.
A whole crew.
Yeah,
they're migrating north.
Pretty much. So they're in Georgia. They like to steal like gopher tortoise holes and stuff to kind of live there. They're not really a threat to humans because, I mean, they're not really aggressive as you can, especially when you get them as like a pet.
But I imagine they eat up all the wildlife.
Yep, that's the problem. They love eggs is their big thing. So they will eat the eggs of like every other species, like birds, lizards, snakes, anything else. Mm. They'll like in Florida, they're known for eating up the alligator eggs, stuff like that.
It's fewer alligators.
Yeah, but... that could be a problem too, but yeah.
It's like
so
the
it's
alligators probably
up.
Eat something else though. That's important. That's how the
it ruins
that's
the whole
problem
thing.
With the ecosystem.
yeah, I guess so.
So yeah, so it does kind of mess up the whole ecosystem. So like they're omnivores. They eat a little bit. They pretty much eat anything is the problem. So they eat whatever they can kind of get their mouths on. And being a 4 foot long lizard, you can eat a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
so
they
have
like
been
pigs.
Very problematic to Florida for sure. Georgia, they're starting to become a problem.
Just like southern Georgia, I assume?
Yeah, it's pretty much southern Georgia.
Wait till I get to Atlanta. It's going to be crazy.
Running around the city. But, so basically they lay anywhere between like 10 to 70 eggs, so.
Anywhere from 10 to 70, okay.
Yeah, so they can
quite,
reproduce
quite the range
pretty fast.
There.
Yeah, it is really weird how big that range is. But, yeah, so they can reproduce pretty fast, and yeah, so they're asking people in Georgia if you see them to kill them. They're just saying, hey, whack these lizards.
Would you do that?
No. Well, I probably would consider it because I don't want the ecosystem to get butchered by these because they're invasive species, so you kind of have to.
So you would be able to.
I'd probably at least catch it. I probably wouldn't be the one to kill it. I'd probably catch
it
and maybe, but maybe not a wild one. But I'd probably catch it and take it to like somewhere where they would probably kill it. But I'm probably not killing it personally. They're too cool of animals. But yeah, they're originally from like Argentina. The most common ones that are kept as pets, and you know, kind of out in Georgia now. But
they started in Argentina. And now they're all the way in Georgia.
Yeah, because
maybe they're on like a mission to get to the North Pole.
People keep them as pets and put them everywhere. They're gonna get out and like, because people will buy them and then not realize that the lizard's gonna get 4 feet long.
These things are scary looking.
Hey, they're super.
Why
nice.
Do people like lizards but hate snakes?
The no legs.
Good
I
question.
Think.
Is it the Bible?
that's part of it, I think.
Did Big Snake get taken down by the Bible?
Yeah, I think like that's that, like, you know, we live in the Bible Belt.
I think that has a lot to do with it. I feel like from our early age, we're supposed to be taught that
We're taught snakes are like evil and scary and stuff. So like
snakes are bad.
They are scary.
And you know, there's venomous ones. So like it's preached into our head that the snakes are dangerous.
The venomous ones are pretty scary. I will agree.
But yeah, I think it's part of the like no legs thing too. That freaks
that
people
also
out.
Is a little weird, not having legs.
But Lieutenant
Dan.
You can house break this lizard. How cool is that? You can house break
a
lizard.
Not cool at all, Cam. It's
you can have the lizard just running around your house and it's not gonna crap all over your floor.
That's fine, Cam. Still not very cool. It's a lizard.
It acts like a dog though.
Yeah, Cam, still not gonna say that's very cool, okay?
It's a lizard puppy.
Yeah, no, not going to say that.
But their bites
one's...
do hurt. They actually have more bite force than a dwarf caiman, so don't make them mad, but they're pretty docile, actually. So if you saw one in the wild, it's not going to be problematic or anything, but...
Did you say something about a dwarf caveman?
Caiman.
Oh, caiman.
Yeah.
They said caveman.
Type of crocodilian.
Imagine a dwarf caveman.
Those probably would have gone extinct.
They didn't. They didn't last very long.
They didn't let them around the fire.
But yeah, these lizards can live 20 years, so if you keep them as pets, they're going to be around for a while.
No thanks. All right, good batch of animal kingdom topics, whatever the hell they're called. Hour two in the books, hour three on deck. Stick with us. There are some that say Taiwan goes back to the Western days, where you would go to the saloon and tie your horse outside.
Yeah.
Some think that's it. Some dispute that.
That seems like a... It makes sense. It could be that.
Apparently, there's no real... No one's really nailed down where the phrase comes from. Taiwanon. Maybe the one's a horse. I don't know.
Maybe the horses came up with it.
I'm going to say that didn't happen. All right, well, you want to do some overrated, underrated, Cameron? You ready to do that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, please hit the music.
Overrated. Overrated. It's overrated. Overrated, my friend.
Overrated. I'm going to tell you why. I think that's a solid rated right there. It's perfect rated.
He underrated, man. He has some swag. He has some real swag.
Lobsters are underrated. They don't die.
All right, y'all ready to play some overrated, underrated?
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Sweet, let's do it then. All right, first up we have yogurt.
Yogurt is overrated. Yogurt is pretty bland at the end of the day when you think about it. It's not really good for anything. You know, when do you eat yogurt? My grandma used to eat yogurt kind of as a dessert, you know. But some people eat it for breakfast. For some people, it's just a snack. But it's not even enough to be a snack. To me, you need too much of it. And there's so many different kinds of yogurt. There's the Greek yogurt, which is awful. I guess the Yoplait or whatever, the just regular yogurt is all right. But it's overrated. You know, you don't get enough in the little plastic container. If you got more yogurt at one time, it would be better. I think it's overrated. I got to eat like three
disgusting packs.
It's
very overrated.
I like the fruit on the bottom.
It's too gooey for me.
To stir it, you know?
Too gooey.
Too gooey?
Too gooey.
Why not just eat pudding if you're going to eat yogurt?
I don't like pudding either. Too gooey.
Texture problem?
Frozen yogurt, I can sometimes get down with a little bit. Like, you know, I'd rather have ice cream, don't get me wrong, but I can eat frozen yogurt. The regular gooey yogurt, too gooey. I'm out. I don't like anything that texture. Pudding, nope. Yogurt,
I don't
even like Jell-O. No, I don't. Jell-O, too gooey. Don't like it.
Have you ever had homemade pudding?
Nope, don't want it.
Chocolate pudding?
Chocolate pudding just looks even more disgusting because it looks like gooey poop. I'm out on yogurt, anything that texture.
You would have struggled in the 60s with all the Jell-O mold. Did you ever look at some of those old recipes from
the 60s? I don't want to like take credit or anything. I dumped water all over my laptop. I didn't know that lid wasn't on. I didn't like Bill Cosby from a very early age because of all the Jell-O commercials, because I thought Jell-O was disgusting. So I never liked Bill Cosby.
You were out in front.
I'm not saying I was out in front. I'm just simply saying When I found out Bill Cosby was a scumbag,
you weren't surprised.
I'm not gonna say I wasn't surprised. I'm just gonna say, oh, never liked him anyways.
You knew it all along.
He was okay in that movie Jack. You ever seen Jack, the movie with Robin Williams, where he's like a 13-year-old boy, but it's Robin Williams, so he's a grown-ass man. He's just got like a growing disorder.
I don't think so.
J-Lo, ooh, young J-Lo. Oh! I don't know how old she was, but it was like 1995, so younger J-Lo. So she'd have been like 25 at the time. She was his teacher, and he had a crush on her, but she's like, Jack, you're 13. He's like, I know, but I'm a grown man. You're the only person who looks like me. I love you. I saved you all my red gummy bears. And then she's like, oh, that's so sweet. I like you as a student. And then he was just so devastated.
Oh, student zones.
Because he wasn't even really 13. He was more like 8. I think he was like 8, actually. And then Bill Cosby's like his mentor. And then there's like a clubhouse scene where, or treehouse scene where Bill Cosby's up in the treehouse with him. And, you know, it's kid humor. Like, Bill Cosby lets out a, there's like a, somebody lets out a really gross fart. And the next thing you know, the treehouse falls. It was a whole thing. Really, really sad, though, as a kid. Because you're like, this kid's dying. He's not a kid. He's a grown man. But he keeps getting older progressively as the movie goes on.
It's like Benjamin Button in a way.
But he was really good at basketball.
Yeah.
That's what connected him with the kids. They just dumped the ball down to him, and he was their version of Shaq. Jack, you know, he just dumped it down to Jack, just turn around and lay it in. And he became popular through sports. And he could buy nudie magazines for him.
Which is important.
Yeah, because no one ID'd him because he looked like a grown-ass man. I mean, no one also questioned why he was hanging out with, like, 8-year-old kids all the time. That was... So that'd be tough if you were riding around bikes with a group of like 8-year-olds and you're a grown man. That would feel a little weird. So like, I don't know if the movie holds up, but I liked it as a kid, sort of, kind of. But it also made me sad, but I appreciate it. That was like, oh, Robin Williams, he's the best actor ever. But Bill Cosby, didn't like him, except for that 10 minutes he's in Jack. That's the only thing he's ever done that I liked.
You didn't like The Cosby Show?
I didn't watch enough of it.
Yeah.
Before my time. Never wanted to rewatch it.
I watched definitely the old not doing reruns that. And stuff, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, now it's just he's kind of canceled, I think.
I think he's very canceled.
Yeah.
I don't think he's kind of canceled. I think Bill Cosby's very canceled.
I think most people think that he's a bad guy.
Him leaving the jail cell and stopping to tell a reporter, hey, 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 is just one of the craziest things I've seen as he is leaving the jail cell after being convicted of all these rapes.
What do they
he's
call that?
He's still fired off a hey, deaf? Hey, hey. Yeah.
Tone you deaf?
You've seen the ones where he like randomly throws his head back and stuff?
Yeah, he's just completely lacking, completely lacking.
Do you think
awareness.
He's making the other guys in jail laugh?
Oh, probably.
You think they like him in
I'm
there?
I'm sure he's giving them all lectures like he used to give to like Eddie Murphy and people about how you know,
not
was
to
his,
use profane language.
Well, that was his whole thing, was he was better than everybody and didn't want... I mean, he tried to, you know, mask it as he was trying to protect black males and, like, trying to help beat stereotypes and do all this and that, and then they're all going to end up in prison. The next thing you know, he's in prison, so, like...
Yeah. Yeah, he was a little bit of a hypocrite in that way.
He was a very big hypocrite. Yeah. I don't think he was a little bit of a hypocrite.
You know?
Because, like, hey, Eddie Murphy, you're cussing, that's no good. And then Eddie Murphy's like, yeah, but I wasn't raping these people. So, like, you know, I would say that's a very big hypocrite if you're worried about people cussing and having their pants sagging when you are date raping women.
Yeah.
Many, many women.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, hey, hey!
Takes on a whole new meaning.
So pudding, overrated, Jell-O, overrated, all that.
Bill Cosby, overrated.
Very overrated. I don't think that's a hot take anymore.
Sweet, we knocked out like 4 topics there.
Was that all of them? Oh,
it was everything.
All right. Next up I have Madden.
I'll go with a little underrated. I've always liked Madden more than college football. I feel like Madden's been... is Madden the biggest staple of a sports game? When you think of sports games, do you not think of Madden at this point? Because I know like some people love NBA 2K, but for a while, NBA Live was better than 2K.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are some of us who think like the Dreamcast version of 2K of football was better. You could make some really cool catches on there, especially if Randy Moss. Like, I remember on the Dreamcast, A, onside kicks were easy, but B, you could just toss it up and your receiver could go up and make crazy catches. But I will say that when I think of sports games, my mind still goes to Madden. It's been a staple for a long time.
I guess I'll go overrated simply because I have to be honest with myself. Like, I never played it. Never owned it, you know?
You've never owned a Madden?
I've never owned Madden. I would like
Your
to.
Your family would only buy you one game, and you would just always choose college football and just put
no,
all your time in that?
No, for some reason I had other games.
I would get both, but then I would college football would come out like a month before Madden, so I'd only play college football for like a real month.
Mm-hmm.
And then Madden would come out, and I would kind of switch over to Madden all the way through football season.
And you used to be able to send your draft classes or from like NCAA up to Madden. I used to think that was super cool.
Which, in hindsight, was probably a bad idea for college football because they're like, hey, once you get your draft class, you're going to go play with him in the NFL, so like you're going to leave the game. But it was cool that you could do it at the time.
I had NFL Game Day 2002 for the PlayStation 1.
I had the Game Day.
Yeah.
2002?
Yeah. I liked that game a lot.
I think I had like, Game Day 98, maybe.
But I went through this phase where I just didn't really watch the NFL. Like, I really liked it as a kid, watched the NFL for 2 or 3 years until I was about 12, and then I just stuck with college football for a lot of years. And now recently, like the last 5 years or so, I love the NFL. Like, I hardly miss a game now. So I would get Madden now if I updated my console.
Okay.
But I still got the PS3, so I'd have
to go
get
the PS4. I bought Madden
last
year, didn't buy it this year.
5's about to come out. Wait for the 5.
What, the PS5?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be so expensive, though.
Yeah, but it's better than buying the 4 and the 5 coming out 3 months later.
The thing is, now you're an adult.
With money to buy it? Yeah.
Or at least means to go make money.
Yeah. Right, I don't have to ask my parents.
Yeah, like, you can, like, hey, I'm going to go...
Ma'am! Will you buy me the new Madden game?
Please, I don't have very many friends at SKU.
I don't have very many friends at SKU.
But I guess I'll go overrated just because I never really bought it, so I can't say it's underrated.
I will say they need some competition, though.
Yeah.
Maybe spice them up, make them make a better game.
Yeah,
NFL
please.
2K.
It's getting kind of repetitive. All right, next up we have bacon.
I go very overrated on bacon. I mean, it's good. I like it, but I'd like other breakfast stuff a whole lot more or just equal. Like, a lot of people talk about bacon as if it's like the holy grail, the end-all, be-all breakfast thing. No, not for me. Usually, if given the option, I get sausage over bacon.
Yep, as many people know, I'm a big sausage guy, too. So,
huge
bacon.
Sausage guy.
Big sausage guy.
Yeah, big sausage guy. Bacon.
You love it.
I do love sausage, that's true. Bacon is overrated, and the biggest thing, I will say I've been eating more bacon lately, though. I've been cooking more, but when I cook breakfast with my eggs, I've pretty much been cooking bacon and not really sausage. So I like bacon and eggs, and I've been getting more bacon on my burgers lately. I've kind of been on a bacon kick, but because of the way people treat it, like you said, that people almost worship bacon, it has to be overrated.
Yeah. It's like
no way to call
bacon
it underrated.
Culture is very close to the wine and coffee culture. Bacon culture is that when it comes to food, in my opinion.
Not true.
Slice
coffee.
The hog, Ma.
Not true coffee culture. You're talking middle-aged white woman coffee culture. That's not real coffee culture.
The bacon culture is the version of that, though.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
They have like a T-shirt with what's that lettering called? Like the embroidered. It's like
the sorority stuff?
I love my bacon, basically. Oh. Yeah. No, not like that.
No,
you know what I'm talking about?
Like
it's like a, well, it's some kind of a stamp. It's a thing that all basic white girls, I don't know. Don't know what it's called.
Pray or something like that.
Huh? Yeah, yeah, it's kind of like that.
That kind of
yeah.
stuff.
All right. Huh. Yeah. Anything else?
Yeah, I got another one for you. All right. Spotify.
To me, Spotify is underrated. Spotify, very underrated. It's the one
Spotify.
Service.
Spotify.
It's the one subscription I have that I use every single day. I pay $10.99 a month, and to me now that's just a normal thing that I'll pay till the end of time.
And with me, I get free
because
Hulu.
Spotify. I do awesome. Too. I do too.
Spotify's so good.
Yeah, it is. I mean,
I know we gave some free pub to the pizza place, but like, I'll go to war for Spotify.
Yeah.
Apple Music, they try to keep saying, come back 3 free months. No, you couldn't pay me $10 a month to go to Apple Music and leave Spotify. If you offered me $10 a month to leave Spotify to go to Apple Music, I would say, thanks, but no thanks, sir.
I agree.
Thanks, but no thanks.
I agree with that. Spotify is just, it. Like I said, I mean, I use it every day, every single day. It's the one, like, you know, Netflix, you don't always watch Netflix every day. Disney Plus, whatever you have, you don't watch them every day. A lot of times you don't get your value. Spotify
every day.
My Spotify is running probably 3 hours a day.
Yeah, Cam, you using Spotify every day?
I do not have a Spotify.
Oh my God, what a loser. Are you an Apple Music guy?
No. Oh no, I never use
what
Apple.
What do you do?
What do you use?
I use SoundCloud. I'm a SoundCloud person.
You're a SoundCloud person.
I am.
You listen to music on there?
Yeah.
Are you just like listening to SoundCloud
rappers?
They put
everything on SoundCloud too.
You listening to just SoundCloud rappers? You just like going and finding somebody
on
the underground?
But I do listen to some underground stuff. I do like finding new stuff on SoundCloud too. But they put all the mainstream stuff on there now too. So it's not really like I'm getting different music.
You're a SoundCloud person? Yeah. What is wrong with you? All last night, I just had to keep hearing, "And you look at you iPhone idiots. I have an Android. I'm so tough."
Did I say that?
Yeah, you did, as you made poor Charlie go plug in your phone.
Oh, I did make Charlie plug in my phone.
You started yelling at Charlie about how he pays for storage and how everybody who uses an iPhone is stupid and pays for storage, and you're Android, you don't have to, and blah, blah, blah. So you're an Android user who listens to SoundCloud as your music streaming.
I do.
What is wrong with you?
Just out here being different, you know?
Hating popular things make you interesting.
That's a tough look.
That's not a personality trait.
Yeah.
That's a tough look.
Hating popular things is not a personality trait. And I just remember Diane Lane was also in Jack. What a great sexually charged movie.
I'm going to go back and watch that movie now.
Diane Lane?
Oh, Diane Lane used to do it for me. She still does it for me, to be honest.
Diane
you don't know
Lane?
Diane Lane? You're going to look at her and think she's very basic, maybe? She might not do it for you just looking at her?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think so.
Go watch Unfaithful, though.
This woman does it for you?
Diane Lane in Unfaithful is one of the sexiest movie performances ever.
Is she married to...
this woman?
Brolin? Josh Brolin?
I don't know who her husband is, Cam. I'd rather not know. It does say, if you Google it, it does say... Josh Brolin addresses domestic abuse arrest while married to Diane Lane. Oh, okay.
Oh, man,
Diane Lane responds to Matthew McConaughey admitting he once had a crush on her.
Everyone did, bro. Diane Lane had and still has the juice. Man, her and Unfaithful. Oh, man.
I had a crush on her since a film she was in, Lonesome Dove, said McConaughey. That may have been almost preteens for me, so now I get to work with her. She looks about the same as she did back then.
Look at McConaughey.
That's what he said.
All right.
She's 54 now.
I'd still take a run at her.
She said she thinks she blocked it out. I don't think he lied. I think he did say that to me day one and just like white out. I couldn't cope. She said, "I'm going to stay in character. Thank you for the compliment."
Was she bothered by it, or was she saying like she had a crush on she has a crush on McConaughey too, and it was just too much tension? Like was
he
McConaughey
told her
being creepy, or
they were on set together, and he told her of his crush when he was a kid, and she said, "I think I blocked it out. I think he did say that to me one day, and I was just like white out. I couldn't cope. I think it means like she thinks Matthew McConaughey is a good looking guy."
And oh, okay.
She's like, "Thank you for the compliment. Love you too, babe."
Oof, man.
She said she...
I'm still not over Cam as a SoundCloud music streamer.
Yeah, we should probably just cut that out of the podcast.
Producer, which is...
SoundCloud music.
Yeah, just cut that out, bro.
Maybe I'll get into Spotify when they... I think somebody left it logged in on my computer once. Maybe it's still logged in.
I'm disgusted. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Need home improvement?
You guys see what your boy did, Cody?
Which one? Who's my...
Your NFL boy.
Who's my boy?
Your NFL boy.
Andy Reid.
Since when has Andy Reid been your NFL boy?
He's my boy.
Since he won the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Okay. Nope.
Andy Reid's always been my boy.
Not him.
Your boy. Tom Brady.
Your boy.
Tom Brady. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see what he did recently? He's drawing some criticism, a little criticism.
You can't criticize Tom Brady.
This seems a little... I'll tell you what he did, and you tell me if it's worth criticizing.
Okay.
You know how Tom Brady does these weird health things?
Uh-huh. Yep, yep.
Well, he and his TB12 products have released a new multivitamin supplement.
Okay, cool.
Called Protect. Mm-hmm. And he is marketing it as an immunity-building supplement.
Good time for that.
Yeah. Yep. He is basically trying to market it as, and you know, whether or not he's doing it overtly, as something that's going to help your immune system fight off the COVID.
Seems like smart marketing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's all he did.
Yep. Announced his immunity blend supplement. Over the years, I've learned how important it is to be proactive and taking care of my body. Blah, 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 take care of your body, take this supplement.
Did he say anything about, like, injecting Lysol into your body, or?
Nope, just said Protect is our new immunity blend supplement created to help support a healthy immune system. It's designed to provide exactly what you need to stay healthy, strong, and resilient for whatever comes your way.
I don't see a problem.
No?
I don't see a problem.
You don't think there are people that are like, oh, this could help us with the COVID?
I mean,
like, this seems like something Alex Jones would do. Like, Alex Jones would be selling these supplements. Like, I feel like Tom Brady should be above this.
The President of the United States said to inject Lysol
into
your body.
But he didn't try to sell President Trump. Lysol wipes or Lysol cleaning to inject yourself with. He didn't try to profit off of it.
I mean, he's been pumping the hydroxychloroquine.
We get it, bro. You don't like the president.
No, it has nothing to do with not liking the president.
We get it. You don't like the president.
No, it has
nothing. McClure.
Stop. It has nothing to do with
Biden
that.
Biden and Hillary are your king and queen.
It has nothing to do with that.
But
I'm telling you that Tom Brady simply releases a product to build your immune system. I feel like
Protect.
I feel like that's done not even
for
probably,
whatever comes your way.
I feel
not
like
not even the disclaimer of excluding the COVID.
That hasn't even done 1% of the public damage that what the president did. I mean, that's not a big.
You don't like the president.
It's not about not liking the president. I just don't see why Tom Brady is receiving.
This is the equivalent of being a snake
my
oil
point,
salesman.
My
right
point
now, Tom
is,
Brady, who is
no,
the.
No, it's not.
How is it not?
My point is, in the age of misinformation.
Yes, selling
a
supplement
what
called
Tom Brady's
Protect
doing,
and labeling it as an immunity supplement.
Okay. Well, what about the fish oils and the? You know, you go on Walmart and they got those green bottles with the yellow lids. They got all those different green bottles. What about the one that says this is good for your immune system?
Well, I mean, I feel like it could be good for your immune system.
Well, do you know how many products?
They're not labeling it during a pandemic as helping stop the pandemic. They're not saying
this will
help
you. Do
you
know how many products you can buy right now that say that they're boosting immune health?
Yes.
There's thousands of products.
Are any of them called Protect?
Who cares what they're...
And being dropped during a pandemic.
Yes, I'm sure there's several other examples.
Find one.
I don't know a specific one.
You said there are several.
But in the entire country profits off of people's illnesses, you would think.
That is especially getting pushed by someone who should be above
you're
this.
You're just looking to take a shot at Tom Brady.
I'm not looking to take a shot at Tom Brady. This isn't me. This is like people are upset about this. It's not me.
Nobody's upset about this.
Oh, Tom, this is so disappointing. The marketing of this product is clearly playing on people's fears over COVID and a belief that the immune system just needs a boost to recover it. If it's an athlete recovery supplement, say that. Don't play it up to people's fears about COVID. That's from Julia Offord Pierman. Catherine says, what does your product protect us from, Tom? Does it protect the millions out of work from being duped to pay a ridiculous amount of money for this?
People,
this is a new low for you and Alex.
Exactly. You say I make it political. That's making it political. That's these people. They make it way more than what it is.
What did they say that was political?
What is the product even? Do you have a picture of the bottle? The product? What if it does boost immune health? What if it does?
Picture of the bottle says Protect, daily support for a healthy immune system, a healthy immune response. That's what the bottle says. It's just white. It says Protect. It's got like a circle. And then, like, a lot of little circles.
Have
going
we not
around.
Stopped to think maybe Tom Brady's just trying to help people?
You think that's what Tom Brady's doing?
Maybe Tom Brady's out to help
is
people.
Is he giving away these supplements? How is he helping?
No, I mean, you can help people and still make money. I would think a capitalist like you would understand that.
How do you know I'm a capitalist? You don't know my beliefs.
You're a capitalist.
I thought I was a Bernie bro.
You can be a capitalist and be a Bernie bro.
Can you?
I don't think you weren't a Bernie bro.
You
like with
accused
the,
me of being a Bernie bro, which was socialism.
If you're a you can
communism, according to some people, like, and now I'm a capitalist. And
you
that's
can
being
like
used as an insult.
Bernie bros are the people that are just adamantly Bernie. You can be a Bernie supporter and still support capitalism. I don't think it has to be one or the other.
You must be taking Protect the way you are moving around the pocket.
I don't think it has to be
getting,
one or the
dodging
other.
Dodging here, just taking some of that.
Not dodging anything. Tom Brady is a smart guy. He's smart marketing, and now's a time where people need to improve their immune health, and maybe his product works.
TB12 CEO John Burns told Yahoo Sports that, quote, now more than ever, it is important to have daily support for a healthy immune response. Now more than ever. Sounds familiar. We hear that in every commercial.
Why is it so bad that Tom Brady's doing it when every corporation in this country does it.
What are you talking about?
Every corporation, every ad you see on TV in these unprecedented times.
Yeah, they're not trying to sell something that could be confused as a cure. They're You're trying to sell you a drug Toyota.
Drug companies aren't? Drug companies are probably the worst people.
We don't like the drug companies.
I know, and you're trying to align Tom Brady with the drug companies.
Yes, this is
that's not who he is. He's a good person.
Is he?
Yes.
He's basically on. He's a snake oil salesman.
No, he's not.
What are you talking about?
No, he's
not. Tom Brady's the worst human on the planet.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Top 10 worst humans on the planet.
You guys are so biased against Tom Brady.
We're so biased.
Because he beat your respective NFL teams so many
times. No, he didn't. We kicked his ass. I don't know if you saw the playoffs, round one. He didn't beat my team.
I'm not talking about last year. I'm not talking about last year.
You should have taken some Protect in January, buddy.
He kicked your ass for 20 years.
13 points.
He kicked your ass for 17 years.
13 points, bro.
I'm not talking about one game last year.
Last three times we played Brady, 2-1.
You and Cam.
Last three times we played Tom Brady.
Both have a preconceived bias.
Last 5 years, we've 2-1. Brady ain't beat my team.
You both have a preconceived bias against Tom Brady.
He's your boy.
Yes, I like Tom Brady.
Don't accuse us of being biased.
I like Tom Brady. And if Tom Brady wants to try and help fight the, you know, in this time, he wants to release a product that boosts your immune system, I think he's just trying to help.
Tom Brady's a sham on and off the field.
Wow.
Got no problem with Tom Brady and what he's doing.
Buy some of it then.
He better take some of this before the season when he's going to be awful.
I will buy some, and I'll protect my immune system from COVID-19. Because if Tom tells me that that's what his product is doing, then I believe him. Because Tom's an honest man.
Go buy some.
Unlike these corporations and drug companies that are pushing all their products.
Tell that to his...
Tom's an actual genuine person.
Baby mother, who he left while she was pregnant. Go tell that to her. Last call on the other side.
Look at Giselle.
Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.